And that was Nina Simone. And the song is Jenny the Pirate. Mark Blitzstein, I believe, and Kurt Weill.
Bertolt Brecht and Kurt Weill.
We'll leave that up for the historians. Yeah. We'll come back to
right.
that. We have a man on the line. Otis Richmond, are you there?
How are you doing? I'm here. How are you doing?
So we're talking about Nina Simone as the lead-in to a topic that you know a lot about. And she was an angry person and every reason to be. She had a wonderful song, Mississippi Goddamn. Let's contextualize. There's just been a new mayor elected. His name is Lumumba. Mississippi?
His name is Chokwe Antar Lumumba, and he is in Jackson, Mississippi. But I wanted to say a few things, just one thing about Nina Simone.
Anything you like. You
know, Nina Simone believed in being vicious. Duke Ellington said that being vicious is delicious. And, you know, Nina Simone, a lot of people make fun of their own ethnic group. For example, if you are a black comedian, you can make a lot of money selling to the major people if you poke fun at your own group. Same thing with women. But Nina Simone always aimed at the oppressor. But I just wanted to make that point.
I think it's very important. She was a kind of a watershed figure. This wasn't, she asserted her right to be completely bitter and uncompromising. Well, how many crimes have to be committed? I mean, on the weekend, a state attorney from Florida, a black woman, the first and only, I believe, she said one day, I'm not going to ask for the death penalty in a case. And 3 days later, the police pull her over, and we can all look at it on the video, on the YouTube.
On YouTube, right.
And they put her through a little exercise, which involved considerable dishonesty, where they couldn't get it straight why they were pulling her over, but we all, I think, understand. And then what happened? A black police officer in civilian clothes was assisting in a pursuit of a robber, and white police officers shot him dead just only a week ago.
That's right.
So Nina Simone has every reason to be angry. Now, we have, and thank heaven, I'm sure you must be an authority on this, but, you know, black music did move away from this idea, well, let's just sing blues and how bad it is, et cetera. We began to get revolutionary music, and she was in the forefront. Tell us about this election and why it's important, and why is that city important? I noted that in your writing. You say this is a town with quite a history. Talk about that.
Well, Jackson, Mississippi was, you know, first of all, Mississippi is the imperialist media has projected Mississippi as a place that was passive, didn't resist anything. The citizens being not that bright, kind of slow. And if you really think about, like, people that Mississippi has produced, like Gerald Horn has Mississippi roots, Richard Wright, you know, some of the greatest scholars have come out of Mississippi, some of the greatest freedom fighters. One of the greatest freedom fighters of all time who has been overlooked has been Medgar Evers.
And he's from Jackson, Mississippi.
He's from Jackson, Mississippi. And also, Medgar Evers was killed in 1963 in his front yard. And James Baldwin, if you see James Baldwin's film, James Baldwin talks about his three friends, Medgar Evers, Martin Luther King, and Malcolm X. He knew all three of them. Mm-hmm. He went to Jackson, Mississippi, and covered, you know, Jackson. Jackson, Mississippi was also the spot that there was a shootout between the Republic of New Africa and the police department. I think it was in 1981. And many of the people, there was a shootout with the police there. And fortunately or unfortunately, none of the New African citizens passed away, but there was one policeman slain.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson, Mississippi was also the spot that Chokwe Lumumba, who was was the father of Chokwe Antar Lumumba, was elected mayor in this decade. He only lasted for a period of time, and he passed away. And then his son ran for mayor, lost, and ran again, and won decisively. But Jackson, Mississippi, or I should say Mississippi, is, like I said, it's Exhibit A when you want to talk about African people being incompetent.
Yeah.
You know, it was a imperialism had to show black people in America as being there was nothing wrong with America, but there was something wrong with the Africans that they brought to America. There was something wrong with the native people weren't quite up to scratch. And you know, that has been the narrative. They had to push that narrative in order to justify imperialism, you know.
Mm-hmm. This, and by the way, when we talk these, this is a name with, of course, great carries with it a lot of glory, the name Lumumba. And both this father and his son, who's now succeeded him and is the mayor elect, these are men with very progressive outlook and,
oh, yeah,
and policies. Can you give us an idea what their thinking is?
Well, first of all, they're named after Patrice Lumumba, who was the head, first democratically elected president of the Congo, Patrice Emery Lumumba. And Chokwe was an attorney. Chokwe was an attorney who defended people like Tupac Shakur. He was a great attorney. He was from Detroit, Michigan. His roots are Alabama. He was related to Joe Louis.
Well, that'll do it. Now we're talking royalty.
Yeah, by blood, you know, he was he was related to Joe Louis. I met Chokwe in 1992. We stayed with him in Harlem. There was a Malcolm X conference, so I met Chokwe. But I hadn't met Chokwe I lived in Detroit when Chokwe was there. Mm-hmm. And he was the head of the Republic of New Africa, and the Republic of New Africa was an organization that believed in the Africans in America had a right to self-determination.
Mm-hmm.
Just like people in Jamaica, just like people in Barbados, black people in America were not, they were colonized, but they were an internal colony.
Yes.
So,
and remain so, right? I mean,
all the
economic, political evidence, the incarceration rates show that white American leaders believe that to be the case. They just don't say it.
And Chokwe split with the Republic of New Africa and started the organization, or was part of the leadership of an organization called the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. And the people that had the Republic of New Africa were Imari Obadeli and Gaidi Obadeli. Gaidi was a lawyer, and he was the one who, all of Malcolm X's, the message to the grassroots, and all of those speeches that Malcolm made, it was Gaidi who taped all of that and put that out.
Mm-hmm.
And Imari was the president of the Republic of New Africa, but the Young Turks, which Chokwe was part of the Young Turks, they split with the old guard, and they formed the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, and then they moved to Mississippi, and they basically united with the people there. But like I said, they had been there like in the 80s, because there was the shootout, and they made Jackson, Mississippi, was like the headquarters of the capital of the Republic of New Africa. You know, the Republic of New Africa was supposed, they believed in five states, Louisiana, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Republic of New Africa. And I remember when I went to Jamaica, and the first time I went to Jamaica, I signed citizenship, and I put Republic of New Africa. And I remember the Jamaicans, that word customs. I mean, they really like that. They love that. They got a kick out of that.
They give you a Marcus Garvey badge. Well, Otis, this has been great. We're going to have to go, but thanks for all the enlightenment on Nina Simone and on this new situation. We're going to have to ask, I think, for that the mayor, could he please put up a statue of Medgar Evers?
I don't know. They may have already done that because Medgar
Well, then they're going to have to have guard duty around it because in Mississippi, you know what happens.
Right.
It's a long war.
Right, and I would just like to just leave by saying that, you know, Nina Simone definitely believed what Duke Ellington believed, being vicious is delicious, but you don't be vicious against your own people. You target the oppressor, not the people that are being oppressed, like a lot of the comedians, be they black, white. I mean, you know, I believe in the comedians in the tradition of Lenny Bruce and Richard Pryor and Paul Mooney, Moms Mabley, people that made fun of those who oppressed them. Don't make fun of your own folks.
Hey, that's a great sentiment. Thank you very, very much, Otis, the bluesologist. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Taylor Report, CIT, 89.5 FM. I know if you are familiar with the show, you knew that all along. I think we're going to, we will take a break, and when we come back, we'll be hearing a bit of Judy Collins celebrating Bastille Day belatedly, 3 or 4 days late, but it's always time to say something nice about Bastille Day. And then we will talk to Stephen Gowans.